Welcome to the Make Disciples podcast, a short weekly podcast where we will share topics, ideas, and resources useful to you in your effort to follow Jesus as a disciple. Hey everyone, Dan Rober here. We wanted to do something a little different for this episode of the Make Disciples podcast. A couple years ago, we did a series of podcasts on church history. Our goal was to hit some of the major aspects of church history, and one of the episodes covered the creation of the LDS Church, sometimes colloquially known as the Mormon Church. At that time, we talked a little bit about the temple that was being built on Thomasville Road. Well, that temple is almost completed. We're expecting that it will be completed within the next few months. And then there will be an open house, and then it will be formally dedicated. And at that point, only members will be able to go in. Because of everything surrounding that temple, we thought it'd be useful to re-up our episode on what we believe about the LDS Church and how it relates to Christianity. So I hope you enjoy this classic episode of the Make Disciples podcast.
This is David McNeely once again here with Dan Rober. And we are doing this series, this seasonal podcast, Church History That Helps. And we've been looking at great things. Last episode, we reached the present day in our trek through church history, which is situating the PCA and Wildwood within the broader scope of church history. We're not done, though. There are a couple more things that we need to talk about, Dan, when it comes to church history. So if you head east from Wildwood, you drive down south on Thomasville Road, you're going to see a massive new building being constructed on the left side of the street. It is a temple for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, formerly known as the Mormon Church. And the construction of this temple just actually shows the influence here in our area. There are currently 80 temples in the entirety of the United States, but 5 of them are here in Florida. Now, if you interact with a member of the LDS, you're going to pretty quickly hear some common phrases with our traditions in Christianity. In fact, they're going to refer to themselves as Christian. So in this episode, we want to consider the history of the LDS Church and then why we don't consider them to be Christian in the process. So no big task here, Dan, just asking you to tackle all that in one podcast.
In 10 minutes or less.
That's right. First question. Where did Latter-day Saints Church come from?
Yeah, so we got to go back to Joseph Smith, a guy that lived at the beginning of the 19th century. And he grew up in Vermont, but actually moved with his family to Palmyra, New York, upstate New York, which is actually close to my old stomping grounds.
Nice.
Where I grew
Are you Mormon?
Up in. No, I'm not. But thanks for that clarifying question. Yeah. That's important. And he moved there in a time that what historians refer to now as the burned over district, in the midst of what is known as the Second Great Awakening in the history of American religion. It's a time period where we see an unusual outpouring of God's spirit. We'll use that term in Christian circles to see that he is accomplishing his purpose. And there seems to be a more religious vigor going across the land. In fact, this phrase burned over district is a phrase that Charles Finney used to refer to the Holy Spirit burning over the land to an extent that there was no one else that needed to be saved. The problem with that is as this was happening, we also see the growth of a number of other new religious movements at the exact same time. So you can see the growth of things like the Shakers there, the Adventist movement becomes popular, but Joseph Smith was there at that time as well. As the story goes, he was trying to figure out what church he should be a part of, and he had a revelation. And in this revelation, he was told he shouldn't be a part of any of the existing churches. He should start his own church. In fact, he had a vision of an angel, Moroni, in 1823 to start a new church. He was told about some golden tablets that he was to go dig up and then translate and then publish. And lo and behold, we have a person and people who are following him saying that this is the true way to do Christianity.
Mm. So why does this new movement resonate with people in a predominantly Christian environment?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because people were already Christian, so why would they be drawn into this new environment? We should note first that at this time anyway, Western New York was kind of the wild, wild west of the United States. We don't really think of New York as the Wild Wild West. But when the seaboard areas were settled, even moving just a little bit in westward, it was much more open, certainly much less regulated. And so it was wide open and people were exploring. They were trying to gain their fortunes, but they were also ready to explore different religious traditions. They didn't feel as restrained. And at the same time, Smith was offering a Christianity with a distinctly American focus. See, in the early 19th century, the success of the United States was far from guaranteed. I mean, we really didn't know what was going to happen with it. And Smith comes along and provides a distinctly American religion. His teachings explain things like why there were advanced civilizations in Central America, why there were pyramids and stone calendars. In fact, it gives an explanation for the origin of the Indians. I'm not sure if you are aware of this, but Mormons actually believe that the Indians are a lost tribe of Israel that traveled from modern day Israel all the way through the Bering Strait and over to current North and South and Central America. So more broadly, they place the United States in this broader history and showed America as exceptional. That said, we should note that the group originally was very small. In fact, there was pushback and there was persecution, and that led the group to this great migration from upstate New York through a number of stops until they finally settled in the Great Salt Lake Valley and what then was Mexico and later becomes the state of Utah.
So this group, though, they're known for reading the Bible and specifically focusing on Jesus Christ. It's in their name, for crying out loud, the Church of Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't we call them Christian?
Yeah, we should note first that as we're talking about this, they're going to disagree with us. They will call themselves Christians, and behind closed doors, they will call themselves the only true Christians. So let's talk about this. How does Christianity as a whole view the LDS Church? Well, they don't put them within the bounds of Christianity. And we can look at this from an academic perspective and from a doctrinal perspective. Academically, there's actually disagreement. There are some textbooks that will put this church within Christianity, and there are others that put it into a category known as an alternative Christianity, or one of those new religious movements that doesn't fit within the umbrella of Christianity. And one of the reasons for that is because the LDS Church is like a number of other movements that says they are the only true authoritative church. And one of the things we've spent time talking about here is that we say that we're pretty confident with our theology, but we still get along with other groups within Protestantism and even Catholicism and Orthodoxy that we still believe that are Christian. We disagree enough to have our own group. This is saying that they are the dominant and the only true church. But for our purposes, let's set aside academics and just talk about doctrine. Where do we disagree? Well, we've been spending this fall talking about the Apostles' Creed, which argues for this Trinitarian theology, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In contrast, the LDS can be best understood as a non-Trinitarian tradition. They see a Godhead composed of God the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, but they see it as three separate persons who see a unity of purpose or will. And so they are three distinct beings making one Godhead. And this is in strong contrast to what the church has developed and understood God to be. This conception of the Godhead is very similar to what theologians call social Trinitarianism. And they also believe, the church believes that God the Father and His Son, Jesus, are separate beings, a bodies of flesh and bone, while the Holy Ghost lacks such a physical body. In fact, there are statements by LDS church leaders that say that God at the head of the human family is married to a heavenly mother who is the mother of human spirits. So when we're going to the foundational and fundamental doctrines of Christianity, we're going to see that they disagree with them. And if they're pushing away from something as important as a Trinity, we're going to push away from them and say that this isn't Christian anymore. And besides this, the church also holds what they refer to as an open canon. And so they will read the Bible and they'll tell you very quickly that they read the Bible and love the Bible, but then they're going to add other books. The three books are the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price. They want to add all of that to the canon and say they're just as important. And once again, we say there's a lot of good books out there, but we don't add to Scripture.
And then there was even altering of the Scriptures as well. So there's what you and I refer to as the Scriptures are not even a part of what the LDS Church would say are the Scriptures. Yeah. That Joseph Smith had to correct the errors that were in there, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
All right, so why are they not called Mormon anymore?
Yeah, and even as I answer this question, I'm realizing I've used this term Mormon to refer to them and very frequently still use that term. But in September 2018, the president of the LDS Church declared that the term Mormon should no longer be used for the movement. He was 96 at the time, and he said, it's not Mormon's church, it's not Moses's church, it's Jesus Christ's church. And he actually said that using Mormon equates with a victory for Satan. He said, the Lord has impressed upon my mind the importance of the name he has revealed for his church, even the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We have worked before us to bring ourselves in harmony with his will. So he says he can refer to it as the church or the Church of Jesus Christ or restored Church of Jesus Christ. He doesn't even really like the term LDS Church. But let's be honest here. It's a marketing stunt. That's what's going on here. By using the name Jesus Christ, they're trying to make themselves out to be more Christian and draw Christians from other groups into their fold. And that's why good theology is so important. We need to distinguish between good theology and simply buzzwords that will ultimately lead us astray. Simply using the phrase Jesus doesn't mean that makes you a Christian. And Jesus' warning to us remains prescient. Not everyone who says Lord, Lord, or uses the right words is necessarily entering the kingdom of heaven. And so that's the warning that we see when we look at the LDS Church.
This is such a helpful overview. And this is all we got time for on this one. But man, it brings up desires on my part to pursue some other things. But this is our last podcast when it comes to this level of content. We're going to come back and give you one more in which we're going to give some recommendations in regards to some church history. But Dan, thanks for this season. And in particular, since we've got that giant building going up, which is the purpose of us doing this, just giving us a little history here of that. So thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you again next week.
Thanks for joining us for the Make Disciples podcast. We would love it if you would subscribe, leave a review, and spread the word. This podcast can be found in Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This podcast is a ministry of Wildwood Church in Tallahassee, Florida. Please join us again for our next episode of Make Disciples.